I want all of our listeners to know that they matter, that they can heal with love, and it is time to commit to you.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and our guest today is a dynamo. Her name is Lisa Mannion. She's also known as the Business Marketing Architect. She's the founder of Right On Creative, the host of the podcast Your Message Matters, and a best-selling, award-winning author. She's here to talk to us about her latest book, Healing with Love, which is based on her best-selling, award-winning book, Spiritual Sugar, The Divine Ingredients to Heal Yourself with Love. And there's a foreword by Dr. Joe Vitale and an afterword by Neil Donald Walsh. Both of those are awesome. Lisa Mannion, welcome to the Daily Helping Podcast. It is awesome to have you with us today.
Thank you. It is my pleasure to be here. I'm just so excited about what you are doing in the world and how we can inspire others.
Well, that is the name of the game. I want to do something first before we get into your book. I'd love to do this with everybody because I always find it so fascinating to kind of peel back the layers of the onion and figure out what makes people tick, what fires them up. So let's go on the Lisa Mannion time machine. Tell us how you got put on the path you're on today.
Oh, my goodness. So specifically the writing path?
Pick a path. Choose your own adventure.
Yeah, sure. I'll go back. Since I play in two little arenas here, the marketing with integrity with, you know, my Right On Creative business. And then I've got, of course, as a subset, I've published a book through Right On Creative Publishing. And interestingly enough, writing has always been a big thread of everything that I've done. So when I was a small kid, as soon as I could, you know, child, I'd be writing really bad poetry and things like that. I was always, always drawn to the written word. And even when I was watching cartoons, and I'm going to date myself here, but like Captain Kangaroo, and in between Captain Kangaroo and Scooby-Doo commercials would come on and I would critique them. So I've kind of ping-ponged between this strategic mind that just sees how things connect and also, you know, this person who loves writing. And we lived in a very rural area growing up. And so there was a bookmobile, meaning a mobile library that would come to us. And I would go and, you know, pour through the books on that bookmobile and look at the Caldecott and Newbery Award winners and dream of being a writer. So this has kind of been in my blood. And then, you know, throughout my journey until I started my business in 2003, I, you know, worked at radio stations and nonprofit organizations and advertising agencies and all these things, and then started my business. And now I'm writing in every position that I've ever held. Even prior to my own endeavors, I was focused on some kind of writing and strategy in some capacity.
Awesome. I'm just thinking about, I wish those commercial critiques between Captain Kangaroo and Scooby-Doo still existed somewhere, because they would be
I do too. But I just remember them over-exaggerating things. I remember there was an aspirin commercial in general. I don't remember what it was, but it was just hokey. And I'm like, oh, really? And I'm just a kid, but I could tell, like, this is not good. This is manipulative, which is kind of interesting based on, you know, fast forward to what I teach in the realm of marketing. And then also now rolling into really just doing what we can to help heal those broken threads of humanity and doing things the right way across the board.
I do want to give you space to talk a little bit about what you do in the marketing world, because it is unique. And then I definitely want to dive into the other stuff. So obviously, as you said, writing was in your blood. The mobile book tour would come to your area. You'd get in there, you'd read all the books, you're critiquing commercials. What is it that really makes you unique as to how you approach the world of marketing?
Well, I've been teaching marketing with integrity for, you know, a couple decades now. And quite frankly, that's an oxymoron oftentimes in the arena, because there are a lot of techniques that are taught that are manipulative and really are sales-based. And there's nothing wrong with sales, but I'm a people-first person, and I believe that people are people, not numbers. So when I sat back and watched all of the gurus teaching this pain point marketing, and, you know, almost going on autopilot, being basically brainwashed into automatically asking, hey, what's your pain point? Instead of like treating people more like people, like let's acknowledge the challenge. Let's do that. And let's not agitate pain points and do all of the things that have been taught in some of what I call the antiquated formulas. So I just watched all of this unfold and was very quiet in the beginning, because I'm like, who am I to say anything? They must know what they're doing. But more and more people kept coming to me because I was intuitively doing things, you know, energetically on a completely different level. And so they would come to me and say, look, we've got the pain points all mapped out. We don't know what to do. People are not, you know, responding to our brochure or our website or our talk or whatever it might be. And I'd say, well, listen, how would you respond if someone is poking at all of your pain points and really amplifying your problems, when in fact, what we all desire is absolutely to be acknowledged and yes, understood, but we really want solutions. So we just flipped that script, and I created a whole new framework called the Challenge Solution and Invitation Communication Framework. And we focus on passion points there. So that's what makes me different. And I love doing that. And I love helping people dial in their core message by using this framework to really solidify their value proposition to become the choice, not an option.
I love that. And you mentioned, you know, that you have your feet in two worlds. One is your writing and helping people market through integrity. But the other is a very different path, helping people heal themselves. And you really take kind of a spiritual direction with this. So how did that all come about? What was the impetus for that?
Well, I'll tell you, it was kind of a big surprise to me, honestly. I've always been highly spiritual, but never really, I mean, I kind of infused a little bit of it in my work, but that's a highly personal thing. And so I kind of keep, you know, even though I believe business is personal, I kept that part of it, you know, kind of just to myself. And however, in 2015, things kind of started to really shift for me. I received a divine download or a God nudge, depending on, you know, what you want to call it, that told me I was to write a book called Spiritual Sugar, and it was to be about healing with love. And at that moment, I had like a WTH moment. I'm just going to be clear. Like, what do you mean, creator? That sounds fantastic. However, number one, I don't think that I'm a healed person. And also, you've already given me this gigantic charge to teach marketing messages with integrity. I mean, you know, right? And I'm like, wait a minute, how am I going to do all this? So I journaled about it and set it aside. And then what happened is, fast forward 2 years later, and I'm going through a bunch of massive health challenges, and I'm sitting in my office in inquiry, not sure what's going to happen. And I get another message, another one of those divine downloads, those God nudges that said, hey, don't worry, you're going to heal this with love. And I went back to my journal, found that journal entry, and thought, wow, okay, this is all happening for a reason. I ignored that little nudge, and I should have paid closer attention back then, I suppose.
How much time had passed?
2 years.
Okay. Well, that's a long time.
It really is. So, you know, bottom line, I bought the domain name and I started building out the brand while I was healing cancer with love.
So you got this cancer diagnosis about 2 years after you had this divine download, as you called it.
Yes.
To help people heal with love. And so what was going on with your medical healing in terms of the doctor care, in terms of your prognosis? Where was everything going with that as you were starting this other piece of it?
Yeah. So, you know, after I got the initial message in 2015, in 2017, I received a diagnosis of cancer. And so it was stage two, and it was throat, base of tongue cancer. So we're dealing with throat chakra things. What are you saying? What are you not saying? All kinds of energetic things. And you'll find that even though I'm quite pragmatic and I'm always looking for evidence-based theories and methodologies, that I absolutely believe in the power of healing and the power, our ability to heal, and the fact that there are all kinds of different modalities that can help us do that.
So let's take a deep dive into a couple of your favorites. I know we're obviously not going to do all of them, but pick a few out of the book that you really enjoy.
Yeah. Well, meditation, for one, is big. And this is kind of an interesting topic because, you know, I am very clear about the fact that Spiritual Sugar is a spiritual book that is not affiliated with any specific religion. So I think anybody, as long as you believe in a higher power, something, you know, positive, bigger than you, could even just be nature, totally up to you, I don't mind, but you're just tapping into that. So I believe meditation is key. I actually consider meditation to be prayer, which can be a bit controversial, but I think it might've been Edward Cayce who said this. I'm not sure, but he said that, you know, prayer is you talking to God, and meditation is God talking to you. And so I think as long as we're aligned in the right place in the light and we're doing things with that positive intent, we're going to be just fine. So long answer to your question, meditation, absolutely. Meditation/prayer. And honestly, just being in nature. We underestimate the importance of being in nature. And while these might not seem like spiritual tools to some, they really are. In fact, if we go in nature and we take our shoes off and we put our feet on the ground, this is a grounding mechanism that connects us to the Schumann resonance, which is the heartbeat of the earth, and helps to regulate our own circadian rhythm and get things in sync. So there's just so many different things that we can learn about and do to activate healing within ourselves. Again, I stress we can't look outside of ourselves all the time for the answers and just think that someone's going to come and save us. We have to truly commit to ourselves. And that's why I wrote the book. It's truly my love letter to humanity, and I want people to commit to themselves before they experience a really serious wake-up call.
I love what you're saying, Lisa. There's really good science behind the psychological and physiological benefits of being in nature. And aside from that grounding resonance you were talking about, you know, going to the beach, being near the beach and breathing in negative ions, being outside and getting true sunlight and getting a form of vitamin D you can't get from a pill. These are very positive things. And to your meditation versus prayer, it's interesting. Scientists have done MRIs of people that will pray and are, you know, this is something they do every day, right? Whether it's reciting the Lord's Prayer or, you know, just getting on their hands and knees and asking, you know, the whatever God they believe in for things versus meditation, they've slapped on EEGs onto people's heads and they've noticed that the brain waves are the same, that, you know, when they look at what parts of the brain light up, they are the same. And so I don't want to say it's semantics, you know, if, you know, or rather to not offend anybody. But the reality is, from a neurophysiological standpoint, prayer and meditation have the same effect on the body, which is really, really cool.
Absolutely. I mean, Dr. Joe Dispenza has done all kinds of studies around all of this, the HeartMath Institute. There is all kinds of evidence-based data to amplify the fact, to support the fact that we just need to take better care of ourselves. And there are simple things that we can do that.
And I think one of the things that you said, and I don't know if this is in the book, so if it is, tell me. If it isn't, maybe it'll be in the sequel, is that you said something really cool, is that we basically have to get ourselves to this point where we're not running to a doctor to fix us. And listen, a lot of people have said this. If you're bleeding to death, go to the hospital. There is no set of crystals or chakras or magic spells that are ever going to stop the blood from spewing out of you. But what you said without actually saying it is giving people an internal locus of control versus an external locus of control regarding their health. And what that means is simply believing that you have the power internally to heal yourself versus being fully reliant on an external system to do it for you.
Yes, I love that you brought that up because it really brings us to the point of, you know, staying in the frequency and vibration of love versus fear, right? Again, there's been all kinds of studies done around this. If you go to Dr. Amoto, who did the water studies and the effect on water, all of that. So this isn't just all crazy woo-woo out there stuff. you know, we know that frequency is a thing.
Can we talk about those studies? I'm familiar with them, but if you haven't heard about them, they are so cool. And there's YouTube videos of this. But Lisa, just take us through those a little bit because they're so cool.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Emoto did some really cool studies where he basically he spoke to water, or he you know, exposed it to different frequencies. And so he would say different words, like he would infuse it with love. And then it would create this beautiful crystalline effect, you know, when they froze it. And then he would say something like, you know, hate or something different like that. And it would make this less attractive formation when they froze it. So he did a ton of studies around all of this. And interestingly enough, when I was going through my healing journey, there was a hot springs in, well, near Weed in Mount Shasta, California, called Stewart Hot Spring Mineral Springs. And that is one of the places on earth that Dr. Emoto did his studies. And so I went there and spent a lot of time in those healing waters as a part of my healing path, because water, again, is really, water is life. We need air and water to live. So it's just another example of how energy is a thing. We want to probably pay some attention to it. And you mentioned that there are YouTube videos. There are some YouTube videos about all of Dr. Emoto's experiments. If you just Google that, you can find them. And it's really, really fascinating. He has a book out on that as well.
There's also some very cool experiments that they did with sound frequencies and vibrating plates of sand, and that the type of sound that they used would create very different patterns with no other manipulation. And they did similar studies, if I'm not mistaken, where they would basically put plants in a room and they would blast some of the plants with really negatively charged sound and blast plants with positively charged sound. And if you've been following along, you know, you kind of get a guess where this is going, right? The plants that heard the nurturing, loving sound grew at a higher rate than a normal plant would. And the plants that were exposed to the negative sound, it actually detrimentally impacted their growth, which is really fascinating too. So, you know, and sound is a form of vibration. Vibration is what? Energy and resonance, right? So this is good stuff. And so when we talk about that, I imagine you've got a section in your book about how to kind of ground yourself, because we're living in a crazy world. People around us tend to be crazier than they used to be, right? So what are some of the things that you used during your healing journey to help shield you from some of the craziness that's in our environment?
Absolutely. There, in the spiritual tools section, there is a method called the Blue Grid Method from a dear friend of mine and spiritual mentor, Kelly Phillips. And it's called Blue Grid Method. And it's really just it's an energetic shield that you can do. It's an exercise that you can do on your own. It's something that you need to do yourself. And it's honestly, it's a visualization. And we know the power of the mind is so incredible. We know that when we visualize things and we visualize positive outcomes, that more often than not, the positive things happen. We know that when we visualize negative, or if we're thinking in that negative thinking spiral, then, you know, the opposite happens. You get the negative as opposed to the positive. So it's just really important to focus and to keep I call it your energy field fortified. Because quite frankly, if we think about it, I mean, think about the past several years and all of the division and the craziness in the world. We're all getting bombarded with energy from the collective. There's the energy from the great divide and the arguments over, you know, politics, over who's going to take a vaccine, who's not going to take a vaccine. All of that energy creates discourse in the morphic field. It will actually cause unrest. And if you happen to be a highly sensitive person or an empath, then managing that energy is even more paramount, because not only are you trying to manage your own energy and being very sensitive, you're also managing that energy from everyone else that is coming in. So I know it can sound a little out there to some people, but just pick up any book on quantum physics, start looking into some of these things, you know, check out what some of the work that Albert Einstein did, check out some of the things that Tesla did, check out some of these things that have been documented to be real that we can tap into to activate our own ability to heal. On that note, I wanted to touch back on something you asked me about the diagnosis and what I went through, one of the reasons that I'm really adamant about, first of all, being good partners with your medical team, right? Because what we need to know is that everyone's under a lot of pressure, especially now, and especially doctors, right? They're under a massive amount of pressure and constraints in what I believe to be a very broken medical industrial complex. But they're just a product of that. I say that because when I was going through my journey, I was misdiagnosed with a abscessed tooth. And quite frankly, that is not at all what was going on. And I knew that to be true. And it would have been really, really easy to project my frustration onto the medical care practitioner in question that made that error. And I tell you, it would have been easy. It would have been easy to project a lot of things on a lot of people. It was not a fun or easy journey. But instead, I just chose to remove myself from the situation. I realized that we were not really on the same page. It is okay to fire a doctor and it is okay to ask questions, right? But respect the fact that also that they're under a lot of pressure too, just as we are. So this is why I say to question everything and to ask questions and to push for what you need and to always get a second opinion, because everyone is practicing medicine. It's called the medical practice, right? No one person is an expert on everything. If people come to me to talk about marketing with integrity or with healing with love, I know a lot, but I'm not an expert on everything. I like to let people know I'm on this journey with you. We are healing and growing and learning together. It's about peer mentorship and collaboration. And I really think we need to see a lot more of that with our doctors and with all of our healthcare practitioners and our integrative providers.
I think that was beautifully said, Lisa. I'm grateful you shared that with us. I have to ask, you got that diagnosis in 2017. Where are we today? Are we cancer-free?
We are in the instance of that very specific cancer, yes. Let me explain to you how they monitor cancer. So in 2022, I was declared no evidence of disease as far as throat cancer is concerned. So in the medical industry, they monitor your progress for only 5 years. So once you've reached the 5-year mark, you're considered, you know, no evidence of disease, cured, cancer-free. Beyond that, they don't monitor it. So officially, yes, I'm cancer-free. Does that mean that I'm not going to experience another opportunity to heal with love? Not necessarily. I think we all will. And I think that we will continue to, and I know I will continue to look to my very own book for tools to help navigate the things that come our way. And so I'm grateful to have received the care that I received in 2017 to get to where I am today. And as I navigate what's next, I'm going to continue to work very carefully with the right medical people and the right integrative practitioners, and continue to do my very best to live the principles in the book and to help sprinkle spiritual sugar throughout the world.
Beautifully said. I've enjoyed this conversation. I knew, because it's a spiritual book, that we're going to push the envelope and talk about things we don't often talk about. But I loved how you brought it all back to science, because there are, and I was one of these people, right? For many, many years, you know, this was nonsense. But more and more, science is really starting to catch up to some of these things that are thousands of years old and can help so many people. So, Lisa, I love that you said that. Our time together has flown by. I knew it would. As you know, I wrap up every episode by asking my guests just this one single question. Lisa, what is your biggest helping, that one most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today?
I want all of our listeners to know that they matter, that they can heal with love, and it is time to commit to you.
Amen to that. Lisa, tell us where people can learn more about you online.
Absolutely. You can either go to writeoncreative.com if you're interested in the communication and strategy end of things, or roll over to spiritualsugar.com and grab a copy of the book and one for your friends.
One for your friends. I love it. And we'll have links to everything Lisa Mannion in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations for doing the work that you're doing, healing in the way that you've healed. And I know you're helping so many people out there. So we're all grateful for that.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And for those of you who took time out of your day and listened to this show, thank you as well. If you liked it, if you learned something, if you go get yourself some spiritual sugar of your own, go give us a 5-star review and a follow on your podcast app of choice, because that is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post in your social media feeds using the hashtag #MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.